VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like the floodgates are open. I mean, the evil that is just making its way around this country like a tidal wave. So many different issues that are going on. And yes, we're going to focus in a lot on what happened yesterday with the president's speech as it relates to his shot mandates here across the nation. But it is amazing to see, while this is going on, the other matters that are taking place, the advancement of China taking place. We see the LGBT agenda that is advancing on many different fronts. We see so many stories and issues that are going on. The push for a renewed emphasis on so-called man-made global climate change, on and on and on it goes. But we'll cover as much as we can. Lord willing, we'll give you opportunity to address these issues on the program here as well. But let's begin with what happened yesterday as it relates to the statement that came from President Joe Biden. But before we get to yesterday's statement, I want us to back up to December of 2020, and as he was president-elect, in which he said that the COVID vaccinations should not be mandated by the government. He even said masks should not be mandated. He said, "I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand it to be mandatory." I want you to hear the clip. This is back December of 2020. I believe the date was December 4th.
Do you think it should be mandatory?
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand it be mandatory, but I would do everything in my power. Just like I don't think masks have to be made mandatory nationwide. I'll do everything in my power as the President of the United States to encourage people to do the right thing, and when they do it, demonstrate that it matters.
Okay, it should not be mandatory, though. Okay, and then let's advance here to April of 2021. Nancy Pelosi, when she was asked why not consider something like requiring everyone be vaccinated, a reporter had asked her. This is April 29th of 2021.
I want to ask about something that didn't come up, about the House itself. Roughly, what percentage of the House do you think is fully vaccinated right now? And then second, there's been some pushback from both the right and the left about requiring social distancing and fully masked participants last night. Why not consider something like requiring that everyone be fully vaccinated? Why require masks at a time when public health officials want the message to be about vaccination?
Well, public health officials still encourage wearing masks indoors. But your question is an excellent one that should be made to every member of Congress. We are guided by the Capitol attending physician and the sergeant-at-arms, but the science demands why we have masks on still. As you rightly point out, with more vaccinations, we should be able to have shorter period of time for voting so that we, you know, if we're all vaccinated, still with a mask inside, but nonetheless. Perhaps when we are speaking would be a time we could, as you did, take down the mask. But so far, that's not what we can do. So here's the thing. We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do. It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't. I can't go to the Capitol physician and say, give me the names of people who aren't vaccinated so I can go encourage them to be, or make it known to others to encourage them to be vaccinated. So we can't do that. But you would hope that science would guide them to protect themselves, their family members, and be good colleagues in the workplace to get vaccinated. And the sooner that happens, the better for everything.
Okay. She's saying here, we can't require it. We can't require it. And previous, I could go back and there are other clips from Joe Biden indicating that he cannot require the vaccination. Well, yesterday that all changed. He made this announcement impacting more than 100 million Americans, including tens of millions of workers in the private sector, reports LifeSiteNews.com. He unveiled several new executive orders and other directives aimed at increasing the share of the workforce that is vaccinated in businesses all across the nation. It was a speech at the White House yesterday and in an unprecedented move. And a stark reversal of his previous stance on mandatory vaccination, Biden said that the federal government will seek to impose vaccine requirements for all U.S. businesses with more than 100 employees. We're not airing the whole, but we're going to air about a 4.5-minute segment from President Biden yesterday.
So the time for waiting is over. This summer, we made progress through the combination of vaccine requirements and incentives, as well as the FDA approval. 4 million more people got their first shot in August than they did in July. But we need to do more. This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans. So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. We're going to reduce the spread of COVID-19 by increasing the share of the workforce that is vaccinated in businesses all across America. My plan will extend the vaccination requirements that I previously issued in the healthcare field. Already, I've announced we'll be requiring vaccinations at all nursing home workers who treat patients on Medicare and Medicaid because I have that federal authority. Tonight, I'm using that same authority to expand that to cover those who work in hospitals, home health care facilities, or other medical facilities, a total of 17 million health care workers. If you're seeking care at a health facility, you should be able to know that the people treating you are vaccinated. Simple, straightforward, period. Next, I will sign an executive order that will now require all executive branch federal employees to be vaccinated. All. And I've signed another executive order that will require federal contractors to do the same. If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated. If you want to do business with the federal government, vaccinate your workforce. And tonight, I'm removing one of the last remaining obstacles that make it difficult for you to get vaccinated. The Department of Labor will require employers with 100 or more workers to give those workers paid time off to get vaccinated. No one should lose pay in order to get vaccinated or take a loved one to get vaccinated. Today, in total, the vaccine requirements in my plan will affect about 100 million Americans, two-thirds of all workers. And for other sectors, I issue this appeal to those of you running large entertainment venues, from sports arenas to concert venues to movie theaters. Please require folks to get vaccinated or show a negative test as a condition of entry. And to the nation's family physicians, pediatricians, GPs, general practitioners, you're the most trusted medical voice to your patients. You may be the one person who can get someone to change their mind about being vaccinated. Tonight, I'm asking each of you to reach out to your unvaccinated patients over the next 2 weeks and make a personal appeal to them to get the shot. America needs your personal involvement in this critical effort. My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please, do the right thing.
Yeah, this is amazing, folks. Really, the finger pointing at the unvaccinated here in the country. I mean, what more can we do? You know, I mean, you can get Krispy Kreme donuts, everybody. Didn't you know that? You know, it's interesting to note that Israel was one of the most vaccinated nations in the world, and yet the COVID cases are just going bonkers there. Sweden has just banned travelers from Israel. Think about that. One of the most vaccinated countries in the world. Well, in addition to the vaccination requirements, we also learned that Mr. Biden is moving to double federal fines for airline passengers who refuse to wear masks on flights or to maintain face covering requirements on federal property in accordance with the CDC. This is from Western Journal. He also plans to announce that the federal government will work to increase the supply of virus tests and that the White House has secured concessions from retailers, including Walmart, Amazon, and Kroger, to sell at-home testing kits at cost beginning this week. Meanwhile, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will extend a vaccination requirement issued earlier this summer for nursing home staff to other healthcare settings, including hospitals, home health agencies, and dialysis centers as well. By the way, did you know that the CDC has changed their definition of vaccine? They're saying so that they can be more transparent, but listen to how they changed it. Prior to 2015, this is how they defined vaccination: injection of a killed or weakened infectious organism in order to prevent the disease. Hear that? To prevent the disease. From 2015 to 2021, the definition has said the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. So first it was prevent, then it was immunity. But this month, September of 2021, they now say it is the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. You see the way that the definition of a vaccination has been conducted here by the CDC? It is, first of all, to prevent the disease, then it was immunity to a specific disease, and now it is simply the word protection. The evolving definition of vaccination, very interesting indeed. From ABC News, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden visited a local middle school in Washington today, a school there to was asked by ABC News congressional correspondent Rachel Scott about Republican governors calling his call for vaccination mandates an overreach and threatening to sue the federal government over the plan. Have at it, Biden said. Have at it. I'm so disappointed that particularly some Republican governors have been so cavalier with the health of their kids, these kids so cavalier with the health of their communities. He said, one of the lessons I hope our students could unlearn is that politics doesn't have to be this way. They're growing up in an environment where they see it's like a war, like a bitter feud. It's not who we are as a nation, and it's not how we beat every other crisis in our history. He's talking about this. It's not a bitter feud. And the question is, who is starting? Who has launched this feud? We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what formed Utah's Great Salt Lake?
Chris, the Great Salt Lake is much more salty than seawater because it has water coming in but no rivers leaving the lake. Whatever dissolved solids come in stay there, and as the water evaporates, the lake increases in solidity. It turns out that Salt Lake is really just a leftover remnant of a much larger lake called Lake Bonneville. When the Great Flood of Noah's Day drained off the continents and places water ponded and became inland lakes. Most of these lakes have since drained either through evaporation or through catastrophic failure of the natural dams which were holding them in. Lake Bonneville evidently drained northward through the Snake River Canyon within the last few thousand years. Chris, all the evidence fits that Back to Genesis truth of Earth history.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's a Friday News Roundup here today on Crosstalk, and so much stemming from the president's dictatorial mandates yesterday. In a stunning threat during his COVID speech, President Biden said, if these governors won't help beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way. Senator Tom Cotton said this. He said, tweeted out, President Biden shows more contempt for his fellow Americans than he does for the Taliban. Another story here, this coming from Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel. He said the federal government cannot mandate these COVID vaccines or COVID injections under authorization of emergency use. There is no FDA-approved COVID shot available in the United States. Furthermore, the shots cannot be mandatory under Title VII. In general, employee vaccine religious exemption requests must be accommodated. Employees and employers have also had constitutional protections against this lawless Biden mandate. It's a very disturbing story in Las Vegas. This is coming to us from the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnson. A Las Vegas mother infuriated, Fox 5 carried it there out of Las Vegas, infuriated after discovering that a substitute teacher to her son's fourth grade class taped the child's mask to his face in front of the whole class. The mother said her son had simply forgotten to put his mask on when he got up to get a drink of water. The school is now investigating the incident. It reportedly has happened to other children there, too. She said, I was furious, furious. I was scared for my son on what kind of long-term effect is going to have on him socially the fact that the entire class was laughing, the mother told Fox 5. He went to get a sip of water, forgot to put on the mask. The teacher did not tell him to put it back on or send him to the office. She instead pulled him up in the front of the classroom in front of all the students and taped the mask across the top of his face. The substitute teacher added a second layer of tape from the child's nose to his forehead. He was very upset. He was crying. He was humiliated, the outraged mother said of her son's reaction. When the boy went to the office later in the day to retrieve a homework assignment he'd left at home and that his father had dropped off to him, administrators noticed the tape and grew concerned. The principal was alerted, went to the classroom to investigate, and saw another child with tape on his mask. The mother, we understand, has filed a police report, now considering moving the child to another school. Taping the mask to the child's face? How obsessed have we become with this? LifeSiteNews.com reports here Governor DeSantis of Florida, a new ally when it comes to stopping schools from forcing kids to wear masks. Professor Vinay Prasad, medical doctor who teaches epidemiology at the University of California, San Francisco, said the cost of masking kids outweigh any benefits. The potential educational harms of mandatory masking policies are much more firmly established, at least at this point, than their possible benefits in stopping the spread of COVID-19 in schools. Prasad wrote, states and communities that are considering masking policies just to be safe should recognize that being overly cautious has a cost, while the benefits are uncertain. He spoke from the American Academy of Pediatrics. He broke from them, which has said that there is not currently proof that masks harm child development. Early childhood, he said, is a crucial period when humans develop cultural, language, and social skills, including the ability to detect emotion on other people's faces. Social interactions with friends, parents, and caregivers are integral to fostering children's growth and well-being. Ever pro-lockdown governments like the United Kingdom have not urged masking for kids, the oncologist and hematologist did note, causing that the masking of children does more harm than good. The Department of Homeland Security sent out a press release. I've got a copy here. That they will increase the range of civil penalties that may be imposed on individuals violating the federal mask mandate at airports, on commercial aircraft, and in various modes of surface transportation like passenger railroads, intercity bus service, and other public transportation. The federal mask mandate for transportation has a new range of penalties now beginning today, Friday, September 10, 2021. That will be $500 to $1,000 for first offenders and $1,000 to $3,000 for second offenders. Newsmax.com reporting the Republican National Committee planning to sue President Biden over his vaccine mandate. That was announced by their chairwoman yesterday. Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, who has often come in a collision course with the president, said the Biden administration's decision to mandate vaccines for working Americans without recognizing natural immunity and making exceptions for it is an outrageous trampling of civil liberties. Rather than address legitimate concerns and answer basic questions regarding vaccine safety, President Biden and his administration have chosen coercion over transparency. Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona, dealing with this as well, said he is going to be fighting back as other governors have. Here is a story from LifeSiteNews.com. The firefighters and police officers in Los Angeles are positioning themselves on the front lines in the battle against coercive COVID-19 vaccine mandates, joining together to demand that freedom from forced inoculation in a monumental fight to preserve our liberties. It's founded by stakeholders with the L.A. Fire Department, Firefighters for Freedom. They're partnering with Roll Call for Freedom, an organization made up of the LAPD members to combat forced COVID-19 jabs for city employees. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida promising to fight any attempt by the federal government to mandate vaccinations. United Airlines employees who are granted a medical and religious exemption have been informed that they will be automatically placed on unpaid leave, reports Clarion.causeaction.com. Unpaid leave, a policy that one expert described as the harshest in America. We also have from WND.com, like many employees across the nation, Washington State Patrol is on a collision course with a staffing crisis due to a vaccine mandate that has virtually removed any exceptions. Some WSP staffers were warned in emails a week ago that Governor Inslee's mandate does not allow for religious exemptions. Arizona, this is LifeSiteNews.com, tells the city of Tucson to end the vaccine mandate or lose millions in funding. This is the Arizona Attorney General Mark Brunovich blasted the city of Tucson Tuesday for mandating the shots for city employees, declaring the action illegal and threatening to have the Treasury remove state funding from the city if lawmakers do not overturn the mandate. Also, looking at WND.com, it took only hours for Methodist Health System in Texas, facing a legal demand letter from Liberty Counsel, to decide to grant several employees religious accommodations to its demand that all accept the experimental COVID-19 vaccine. The hospital corporation has announced that all workers would be required to accept the shot or be fired, but that, according to Liberty Counsel's letter, then it was delivered, violated state and federal laws. We understand that since the hospital has backed down, granting the religious exemption. From the Washington Free Beacon, Rutgers University is barring a student from virtual classes, because he is unvaccinated, according to NJ.com. The New Jersey University locked Logan Holler out of his school email account in August when he tried to pay his tuition. He's a 22-year-old college senior. He's not been vaccinated, did not receive the shot, doesn't intend to be so he signed up for only virtual classes in the fall. When he called the school's vaccine hotline after being locked out, he was told he had to be vaccinated even if his classes were all remote. He has since missed the first week of classes. CNSNews.com, groups of Americans across the country fighting back against COVID vaccine and mask mandates by quitting their jobs, walking out of school, and taking legal action. And Chicago school bus drivers are quitting in droves, with as many as 60 school bus drivers resigning in a single day rather than to receive this shot. Last week, dozens of students at Colorado's Thunder Ridge High School staged a walkout to protest a mask mandate. Pittsburgh, a group of parents in the Penn Trafford School District held a protest over the mask mandate. In Florida, protesters demanding the resignation of the Brevard County School Board member who called an emergency meeting to cast the deciding ballot imposing the school mask mandate. In Oregon, police and firefighters have banded together to sue Democrat Governor Kate Brown and the state for mandating all state workers receive the shot. After losing nearly 300 officers due to last year's Defund the Police movement, the Seattle Police Department looks to lose at least 200 more officers who are refusing to abide by this shot mandate. Folks all over the country, situations like these are taking place. A story here also from LifeSiteNews.com. A six-week-old breastfeeding baby became inexplicably ill with a high fever after his mother received a COVID-19 vaccine, and he died weeks later with blood clots in his severely inflamed arteries, according to a vaccine adverse effect report filed with the U.S. government. An unidentified 36-year-old woman from New Mexico said she received the first dose of Pfizer's COVID-19 jab on June 4th. On July 17th, my baby passed away, says the report. The baby boy became sick with a high fever on June 21st when he was treated with intravenous antibiotics for 2 weeks in the hospital for what was assumed to be a bacterial infection. The VAERS report said that hospital tests never found any specific bacteria and called the diagnosis cultural negative sepsis. It states that at the end of his two-week hospital stay, he tested positive for rhinovirus and was sent home. At home, the baby developed further symptoms over the following week, including a swollen eyelid, strange rashes, and vomiting. His mother returned him to the hospital July 15 when he was diagnosed with atypical Kawasaki disease. After the boy was returned to the hospital on July 15th, he passed away shortly thereafter from clots in his severely inflamed arteries, states the VAERS report. We've received word, and I'm sure this is happening around the country, but at the state capitol in Madison, Wisconsin tomorrow, a medical freedom rally is going to be held, inviting people to come and stand for their rights. And you can find info on the website, Medical Freedom Rally, Madison, Wisconsin. It's taking place tomorrow, 10 a.m. at the state capitol. American Military News says that there's a new MU or MU COVID-19 variant now found in 49 states. It's even more transmissible than the Delta variant, has the potential to resist vaccines, they report. Christian Headline News tells us that the Southern Baptist Convention's International Missions Entity announced this week that it will require its missionaries to be vaccinated against COVID-19, saying it's necessary in order to take the gospel around the world during a global pandemic. The International Mission Board, which has more than 3,600 field personnel, said the new policy will require IMB missionaries and any children ages 16 and over to be vaccinated before attending field personnel orientation before serving internationally. Missionaries returning to the U.S. must also be vaccinated prior to attending a stateside conference. Attendance at the orientation and the conference is mandatory for missionaries, but you have to be vaxxed before you come. Further, IMB staff who interact with missionaries at the orientation conference must be vaccinated. They said it's necessary to maintain access to unreached peoples and places and to advance the gospel. Breitbart is reporting on another issue here, and we're going to be talking a lot about that issue at hand when we open phone lines. But just to let you know some of the other issues going on, President Biden's administration has flown more than 8,500 Afghans into the Philadelphia International Airport in less than 2 weeks. That, along with Dulles, is chosen by Biden to the starting point. Then these are flown to military bases across the country, Fort Bliss in Texas, Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, Fort Dix, New Jersey, Fort Lee in Virginia, Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico, Camp Atterbury in Indiana, and then they're going to be dispersed throughout the general population with a $1,200 and $1,250 stipend. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk, and friends, we encourage you to stay tuned each and every day. We cover vital information that much of the mainstream media will not touch. Matter of fact, Lord willing, this coming Monday on Crosstalk, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko is scheduled to be with us on the program. He is the medical doctor that treated President Trump with when he experienced COVID. He has much to share. We'll be talking with him firsthand, Lord willing, this Monday on Crosstalk. Gary Ka also monitoring so much. Gary is scheduled to be with us later next week on Crosstalk as well. Please tune in on a daily basis to stay informed. Just a few more stories here. President Biden reportedly is providing American taxpayer-funded health insurance to otherwise inadmissible Afghan evacuees, granted parole to either the country on humanitarian grounds, including migrants who did little or nothing to help the U.S. campaign. Health care coming there. As we have pointed out, previous four Taliban members that former President Obama traded for the deserter Bo Bergdahl are in the new Afghan government. We understand that the Taliban, this is from the Gateway Pundit, the Taliban has invited Russia, China, Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, and Qatar to a ceremony announcing the new government in Afghanistan. Isn't that interesting? That League of Nations there? Here's another story, this one from the Daily Wire. Biden praising the Taliban on the week of 9/11 anniversary. Listen to this. His administration praised the Taliban extremist on Thursday, just 2 days, yes, before the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 Islamic terrorist attack that killed thousands of Americans. He called the Afghans' new leadership, listen to this, quote, professional and businesslike. Tell that to the ones who have been slaughtered, who have been whipped, who have been beaten, some on account of their religious faith, some on account of women, some on account of being musicians. And President Biden calling them businesslike and professional. Daily Wire reporting, and folks, I know the big issue is what President Biden's talking yesterday and these mandates that are coming, but you have to understand the bigger picture of other things that are going on. Daily Wire is reporting in the days after the disastrous withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan, where President Biden ceding the country to the Taliban and engendering the perception around the world of American weakness, Chinese military aircraft, including fighter jets, have been flying repeatedly into Taiwan's air defense zone. How long before China attacks Taiwan? How long before they will go there? President Trump always said, we're going to stand by Taiwan. Well, though President Biden has said that, China's laughing. They're mocking the United States, and they're telling Taiwan, you see what they did in Afghanistan? You think they're going to protect you? A total of 19 Chinese military aircraft, including fighter jets, flew into Taiwan's southwestern air defense identification zone on Sunday. It is the fourth time this has taken place in this month of September. And then we look at our founding documents. This is unbelievable. The National Archives has put a warning label on our U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence that there's a warning label of harmful language. It's a harmful language alert. We don't know when those tags were added. It's angered a number of people. But a harmful language alert by the National Archives, putting on our U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Folks, we have told you about the Great Reset. We have told and told and told and done programs on the Great Reset. And as Brennan House has said, in order to have a Great Reset, you have to have a great collapse. Is that what we are witnessing right here across our nation? The collapse of a nation? And then we have Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, following the remnants of Hurricane Ida hitting the Northeast, heavy flooding, heavy rains. CNSNews.com reports a story in which Schumer said global warming is upon us. It will get worse and worse and worse unless Congress approves the trillions of dollars of new spending and Democrats' infrastructure and budget reconciliation bills. Global warming is upon us. And then he said, woe is to us if Congress doesn't pass these bills to combat climate change, he concluded his statement. By the way, you won't hear this from the national media. WND.com has a story, though, that less than 10 years remain before this oft-claimed tipping point for the planet. But sea ice in the Arctic, the Arctic Ocean, is the highest it's been in 9 years, increasing more than 30% from last year, while the Antarctic's level is well above normal. That's according to the Ocean and Sea Ice Satellite Application Facility's High Latitude Processing Center, pointed out climate change skeptic Tony Heller. He noted the Arctic Ocean gained a record amount of ice, sea ice, during the first week of September. I need to tell you about this as well. We had a story with Brad Mattis about Texas and the heartbeat law taking effect there. And yesterday, President Biden made it official by filing a lawsuit against Texas. And the abortion ban that happens after a baby's heartbeat is detectable, one that saving 85% to 90% of all babies. He announced a lawsuit. Attorney General Merrick Garland falsely claimed that the Constitution says that there is a right to abortion. Isn't that amazing? What lengths we are going to promote child sacrifice in our land? The Biden administration is bringing lawsuit action against Texas, claiming that there's a constitutional right to an abortion. And what about Kamala Harris? Well, she was at the White House yesterday celebrating abortions with an abortionist who killed so many babies in a short amount of time that America's worst serial killers would blush, reports LifeNews.com. She met with abortionists from across the country, but also met with the abortionist at the abortion center in Texas that bragged about killing 67 babies in 17 hours. She spoke with abortionists and customers from Texas, Mississippi, Kentucky, and New Mexico about abortion access in their states. We need bold action to protect access to abortion, Kumar told Glamour. There's no time to wait. People's lives are literally at stake here. Folks, what Kool-Aid are they drinking? Yes, lives are at stake, but they're not recognizing the unborn baby in the womb. And they're worried about copycat states. Well, CNSNews.com reports that there are at least six states that are looking to introduce a bill similar to what Texas has done. Lawmakers in Mississippi, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, North Dakota, and South Dakota are considering creating bills patterned after Texas' new law, according to the Associated Press. Friends, I've got tons more stories, but I want you to have time as well. There's so much going on. Let's open our lines here today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. No doubt you want to comment on what the president said yesterday. I don't want you to be neglectful, though, that there are so many other issues that are going on, like a tidal wave hitting this nation at this time. Our number here, 800-733-9829. By the way, New American reporting that the bail fund for which Vice President Kamala Harris served as an ex officio fundraiser sprung a violent criminal from jail last month. Weeks later, police charged him with murder. Yes, the ineptly named Minnesota Freedom Fund that raised millions after George Floyd died of a drug overdose while resisting arrest will review its policies, it says, given the charges against MFF beneficiary George Howard. Police allege that Howard shot a man to death during a road rage confrontation. Howard isn't the first dangerous criminal. MFF has sprung from the slammer, and it won't be the last. The group's goal is to free as many criminals as it can to fight the system. Let's go to Dominique, calling in from Mukwonago, Wisconsin. Dominique, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to address one of the reasons that they're attempting to mandate the unvaccinated to be injected. is because, like in January, they had a short-term, the short-term safety and efficacy study was ruined when they unblinded and injected their placebo group. So now also, they don't want a comparison group. This way, the adverse reactions in the next few years could be chalked up to the disease, not the vaccine. I have a short quote here from an author unknown. It says, quote, "The invisible enemy cannot allow a situation where half the world or halves of countries are unvaccinated, thus providing a natural experimental control group to expose their crimes and ruin their future plausible deniability. The enemy is panicking and resorting to mandatory vaccination to cover their crimes. The unvaccinated are the living evidence of their crime and must protect that evidence at all costs," unquote. And I'm very grateful that you introduced the medical rally tomorrow in Madison. Love to see you all there. Very excited about it. The speakers, molecular biologists, pharmacists, naturopaths, incredible. It's going to be really exciting. We have signs. If anybody doesn't have one, we'd love to have you.
Thank you, Dominique. Appreciate your call. William in East Troy, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, I'm not really sure what God that Mr. Biden refers to, but I don't think it's the God of the Founding Fathers. And to say that now our documents of freedom, the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, has harmful words. Well, maybe one of those harmful words is the word life, because aren't we supposed to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? One of the comments about the Taliban being businesslike, since when do we endorse rape and murder as being good business practices?
Exactly.
And how in the world can we allow non-vetted Afghanis and southern border people to come in here and not require them to be vaccinated? But he says, please, please get vaccinated or else. Well, Brother Jim, I don't take the threats from my government very well, and I would hope that America is waking up to the fact that our president is not the man the Founding Fathers or the Pilgrims would have wanted. You don't threaten the American people. That is a big tyrannical no-no. So thank you for all you do, and I don't find Mr. Biden to be following God's rules, and we should pray for his soul, because I highly doubt he's saved.
Thank you, Jim.
God bless.
Thank you for the call. Maxine in North Kingsville, Ohio, you're on the air.
Good morning. I was wanting to say, when they're talking about something else, they're taking the media away from what they're really doing. So we must be aware.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for that comment, and that's why I bring up some other stories, and I've got so many other topics here. I wish a time would avail for us to point out here, but certainly the president's poll numbers have been just tanking as it relates to Afghanistan, and now these mandates and all the media attention on these things. In the meantime, we see the lawsuit filed against Texas while they're trying to save precious innocent life in the womb. Matter of Business Insider just reported, labeled Texas' new abortion law as draconian. There's an OBGYN, Dr. Nisha Verma, who specializes in abortion care. That's an oxymoron in itself. According to the aforementioned abortionist, a heartbeat does not exist in a six-week-old fetus. The flickering that we're seeing on the ultrasound that early in the development of the pregnancy is actually electrical activity, and the sound that you hear is actually manufactured by the ultrasound machine. Unbelievable. The noise is just a manufacture of the ultrasound machine? I mean, you look at other medical journals and so forth, and it will tell you the truth about they're talking, a baby's heart is being at between 80 and 100 beats per minute, as it is other major organs like lungs and kidneys from around week number 6. We're up against another break here, friends, on Crosstalk. So we'll take the break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here. And our number, 800-733-9829. California has a critical election coming up as they're seeking to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. We understand George Soros spending $1 million to support the abortion activist Governor Gavin Newsom. Well, folks, we'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was thinking about what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, destroy, and kill. The context is false teachers. But yet, my friends, the world is filled with false teachers, and they don't have to come into the church. They can be doctors. They can be so-called medical experts. They can be government people, globalists, who actually have a religion, the religion of pantheism, all is God, or panentheism, God is in all, a religion of occultism or New Age. These are false prophets. And what are they doing today? They're killing. Abortion on demand. Quote, a vaccine that's killing people. They're killing the dollar. They're killing small businesses. They're killing our country by opening our borders up to Islamists who want to kill us. Are we shocked that these people who serve Satan are out to kill, destroy, and steal? I'm Brandon House.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Thank you for listening. By the way, a win in Texas, election integrity, signed into law, SB1 by Governor Greg Abbott. This is a legislation in which Democrats in the state, I mean, they totally left their responsibilities, left their constituents without representation in the state to flee to Washington, D.C., and we understand someone off on vacation from there to stop the vote from taking place. Well, it stopped nothing and been signed into law this week here in Texas. Gary is calling from Mesa, Arizona. Gary, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, let me tell you how effective the vaccine is. My wife got that Pfizer vaccine and went to a convention in Scottsdale, came back and gave me COVID. I'm not vaccinated. So when I contracted it, I tested, I was down for about 13 days, and I tested positive or negative on the 31st of July. I talked to my doctor about the antibodies and all that, and I think I'm much better off than anybody who has had the shot. So I'm not spreading around any COVID because I don't have the ability to do so.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. David in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Jim, thanks for all of your work. I work for GMAA Auto Auction and Simon Jims, who's a part of that, and he's a used car salesman.
Okay, right to the point, David.
21st, and died 4 hours later of a heart attack. And I wanted to tell Matt Stave, the Lord's put on my heart and in a dream to warn the body of Christ not to take the vaccine. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit, and we're a partaker of the divine nature Almighty. We have his DNA. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Scott in Holman, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi there, Jim. Last Friday was my last day working at the assisted living / nursing home that I work at. My boss and the nurse told me that right around October 1st, you're going to have to mask up in an N95 and get the double Nazi death jab, and I told them, absolutely no way. I said, you guys know I've had corona last year. You know I'm immune for it. You know I'm immune from it. You know that I've tested myself on my wife when she got corona, and I have proved beyond any shadow of a doubt scientifically that I am immune, and I am not going to do that. And they said, well, you know, according to company policy, then you're out of here. So I left.
My. When did this happen, Scott?
Last Friday was my last day working there.
My. Are there other employees that are taking the same position as you have?
Only one other girl. She and I are the only Christians at work there, and she has quit as well. I had encouraged her not to get it, and I had informed her what it is, what it does to you. And she said, oh, my, no, I'm not getting that. So she also quit about a day or two before I did.
Did they allow for religious exemption?
They do right now, but when it comes to the N95, they will not. And when it comes up to getting the double jab, they say they're going to probably get rid of that.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott, for your call here today. And we'll ask listeners to be praying that the Lord open another employment opportunity for you.
I do have another job. I went to another job the Lord led me to, so I am employed now.
Okay. Thank you, Scott, for calling.
You're welcome.
Laura is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Laura. Yeah, I'm calling because I'm so deeply concerned about the church being totally on board with all of what's going on. So I was talking to my brother about it, and he has no clue of all this stuff that's happening. He doesn't see that there's a problem. He thinks everybody should definitely get the vaccine to be a loving Christian, and he started trying to shame me about it. And I just feel like, what's happening here? So I said, I really kind of challenge everybody to watch or read again the story about the hiding place and what all happened there. And this is all, you know, Rome is burning. Let's wake up, church, to what's happening out there.
Hmm.
Get on board.
Hey, Laura, thank you for your thoughts. Randy, Tomo, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Jim. Well, I just wanted to make a comment here that under Article 1, Section 8, you know, Clauses 2 through 9 and Clause 17 concern the general welfare. You won't find anything anywhere there about the federal health care, that the federal government is to be involved in health care. It's not there.
Right.
That's why this so-called Childhood Vaccine Injury Act that was passed even when Reagan, when Congress did that, that's baloney. That's all illegal. And if states just follow the 10th Amendment, they can blow this thing right out of the water.
Yeah.
You know?
If we follow the Constitution. Wow.
Yeah, right.
Thank you,
that's
Randy.
True.
Thanks for the call. Okay. Jackie in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I have a comment. One, why haven't we talked about impeaching Joe Biden? I do not understand why America is standing for this. Two, my second comment is, church, we have to stand in such a time as this. We are not to waver or fall. There is no pressure. There is no fear of keeping your job. You have to stand for what is right. You have to be men and women of God and stand in this hour.
Okay, thank you so much for your call here today, Jackie. And as to impeachment, as you may know, that the articles of impeachment need to be drafted in the House of Representatives. That is controlled by Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And it would have to be won through that body in order to advance to the Senate. But the impeachment happens as you contact your own House member. Their number is 202-225-3121. Danny in Lancaster, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Thanks for having me on. Two quick comments. The lady said impeach Obama. I mean, Biden. Why would you impeach a lunatic and get a fool in for president? And I think the reason what he's doing is back to the virus again to get all the news media away from Afghanistan. And I'll hang up and get your reply.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that's why we talked about the versions of things that are going on, so much taking place. And you've got a very valid point that many are making. Our last caller here, Steve, we just have a half minute left. Go ahead in Tennessee.
Great. That's all I need. One, yes, we all need to pray, but what we need to do is the corruption is so ingrained in our country, there's only one word that's going to work to retain and keep our liberty and our freedom, and that is secession. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, yeehaw, Southern, you know, rebel flag. I'm talking about a modern-day secession movement. That would mean if any Midwestern states wanted to join, fine. We can do it peacefully.
Thank you for the call. I'm out of time. As I mentioned, I had just a half minute when you came on. Our closing music is airing. But, friends, a lot of concern as to the direction of our nation. And it's not just on this COVID matter. There's so much more going on here as there are nations of the world that are pushing for what's being called this Great Reset. We didn't have time, but even in Australia, they're talking about what things will look like under the New World Order. More to come. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.